I'm old. I have people telling me how to do it. Jenny used to ask me to check with somebody else. Nobody was here for their
Good evening. I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting of May 21st to order. If you could all please stand, I'm going to ask Jenny Kenoyer, and sticking with one of the themes of the evening, she's one of our commissioners on the commission, the Commission on Aging. I'm going to ask her if she would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then I would ask that you remain standing as we are going to have a moment of silence for Public Works employee Charles Meyer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny. Well, I see lots of bright, shining faces on both sides of the aisle tonight. It'll be an exciting meeting. So, tonight we're going to start off with two presentations. The first one is commendations for the 2013 Stanislaus County Outstanding Senior Citizens of the Year in celebration of Older Americans Month. Pat Fantasia. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Chairman Smith, Board Members, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doering. My name is Pat Fantasia. I'm President of the Stanislaus Commission on Aging. It is my honor this evening to introduce the 2013 Stanislaus County Outstanding Senior Citizens. The month of May is officially recognized as Older American Month throughout the nation. The senior citizens around the nation are being recognized for their contributions to their country and their counties. Stanislaus County is joining communities nationwide in celebrating this month, and tonight the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors will be recognizing five outstanding senior citizens, one from each supervisory district, for their outstanding volunteer work in their respective communities. Through their volunteer work, they have enriched the quality of life for county residents. On behalf of the Stanislaus County Commission on Aging, I would like to thank these five outstanding senior citizens for their contributions. You are truly an inspiration to us all. I would like to introduce them one at a time to each of the supervisors. From District 1, Supervisor O'Brien, our senior day is Margaret Peg Tafoya.
One of the best evenings of being a supervisor is to do this presentation that we're doing tonight. Here's an opportunity.
Get the volume turned up. Let's try this again. All right.
Hey.
Tonight's one of the best parts of being a supervisor is we give out these awards tonight. A time that we get to honor people for all their volunteer work. We're going to get into some other winners here tonight as well. But I want to talk about my District 1 Senior Award, Margaret Peg Tafoya. I'm going to read some of the things that she has volunteered her time with. And got an opportunity to talk with her before we came in here tonight. And she says, I do this because it's fun. It's fun. Okay, so Margaret Peg Tafoya has been involved in the election process for 13 years, volunteering to do whatever chores were needed, making phone calls, stuffing envelopes, registering voters, sending monthly care packages to service personnel for the past 10 years, member of Trinity Presbyterian Church, serving in the senior ministry, helping with church dinners, and the food ministry that feeds the homeless. She has volunteered to help teachers at Stockard Coffee School, which one of my kids went to Stockard Coffee, during the Read the Children event, and she would dress up as characters in the book. She's also served as a campfire growth leader for the past 3 years. So it's with great honor that I get to present a couple of things to you.
Oh my goodness.
This is a Board of Supervisors resolution that we passed, and in this book that each one of our award winners are going to get tonight is a whole collection of different resolutions and commendations from all kinds of those politicians. We have Senator Barry Hill. We have Congressman Denham. We have Mayor Marsh. We have a proclamation from the White House. President Obama's in here. So, Peg, it gives me great pleasure to select you as a winner this year for senior. We thank you so much for all you do for our community. So, thank you so much, and now I'd like to pass this mic over to you.
I'm not sure what to say. As I say, whatever I had said I was going to do, it's just fun stuff. I write silly letters to our servicemen and cartoons and goofy poems and silly stuff and some stuffed dolls and things I sent off somewhere else and some quilts off to the Hoffman and the hospital in D.C. And I'm not sure, it's just fun stuff.
And next we have District 2, Mr. Chiesa, Judy Letterman.
Supervisor Withrow caught me flat-footed just now. Come on over here. Hello. I think you're going to hear a common theme tonight as we give these proclamations out. And we had talked a little earlier, and I actually knew her late husband, who was a city councilman in Houston, and he had a heck of a personality. If you ever knew him, very large personality. Definitely have an opinion. But I know that he spoke so highly of you and what you do, and appreciate that. But on behalf of the San Francisco County Board of Supervisors, Supervisor O'Brien said it, this is one of our favorite nights of the year. We had the child abuse calendars last month at the nighttime meeting. That's one of my favorite. And then this, when we get to honor people, it's exceptional. When I was looking, Judy, at what you've done for the community, I highlighted a few of the things, as you can see. She's been a volunteer with the Special Olympics, a Sunday school teacher, a volunteer at the Clothes Closet in Houston. She's been a volunteer at Community Hospice, chair of her church's senior group, and she's finished each Easter projects each year. She's a member of the Samaritan Village Residents Council, where you currently reside. And you know what she does there? She brings issues and complaints from the residents to the management. It's kind of like being a county supervisor, really. She's also a part of a good neighbor who visits folks who are ill or homebound and delivers meals to them. And you know, we're so appreciative of what you do in the community. I think I said, you know, if I can accomplish a third of what you've done, I will have been successful. And I so appreciate everything you've done for the community. I know you've been in Houston. I heard you were from originally from Milwaukee, you told me, but you came out here for the beautiful weather. And her son told me a great story. He was in the armed forces, and he was here to protect the West Coast from a Korean invasion. after the Korean War, and he did his job because the Koreans never invaded. So I thought that was a great story. So anyways, enough of this. I'm going to give you the mic, and you maybe you could introduce your family also.
Thank you. Well, I enjoy what I'm doing, and I get so much out of it. And I want to say thank you to Mary Van Loon, my friend who's sitting up front there. She was the one who nominated me. And I'd like to introduce my family. I can't see where they are. Oh, there they are. I was looking out there. My son, Stephen, and my son, Noel, my daughter, Mary, and my granddaughter, Savannah. And thank you for coming today. Anyways, I feel very honored, and again, I enjoy what I'm doing, and as long as I can do it, I will continue. Thank you. Next, we have District 3, Supervisor Winthrop, and our lady is Rosemary Mizzino.
This is, as Vito and Bill said, this is a great day for us when we get to do this. And I so much appreciate all that you guys are doing here for our community. I'm going to, Rosemary, read through just a couple things that we have here. You know, we have the same book of all kinds of signatures and letters from dignitaries and from the Board of Supervisors here. But a lot of the things that Rosemary's been involved with here on the California Rural League Assistance, she's been doing that for about 6 years, I think. Volunteers at the World Relief for 5 years. Volunteer for the Salvation Army the last 5 years, volunteer for the McHenry Museum, it says, but I know it's in the mansion. She's right next door to my office. I'm going to stop by and see her one of these days. Davis High School for 4 years at Davis High School, 3 years outreach worker for the Senior Law Project, the Stanislaus County Office of Education, working with at-risk parents in a parenting program, which is a great thing. Congregations building communities. Volunteer twice a week as a teacher of aid in a second grade classroom at Bret Hart. Very important work there. Boy Scout leader.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. That's great. And anyway, all these things that you do, you know, Rosemary, it's amazing the time that you give to your community. And you talked about, I know your husband passed away a couple years ago, and born and raised in Hillmar. And I tell you, have two boys, and they've been very productive here. It sounds like you have 14 grandchildren altogether, or some, yeah, a lot of grandchildren. Just had two boys, so good job, guys. And you know, the thing that I really want to recognize here is not only for you, Rosemary, but for everyone receiving the awards and the seniors here. You know, we talk about our greatest generation, and you're part of the greatest generation. You're the generation who stepped up and gave, volunteered, not having to be asked. And we don't have that anymore. We miss that in our communities, in our country. We just don't have the people who just step forward without asking to be compensated or rewarded for what just volunteer. And I want to thank you for that and thank all of you for that, because it's just something that's missing, and it makes such a difference in our world, in our community, in our world, for it's lacking now. And I hope that your next generation, couple generations worth that you've produced here now, will learn from you, the greatest generation, and go forward and volunteer and really make a difference in this world. So I'm going to let you speak here now.
First of all, it's an honor. Thank you very much for nominating me. Everything I do when I was asked, I do because I feel I need it. You know, I'm helping out. I didn't realize that I would ever be honored for it. And my children, yes, they have carried over. Just recently for Love Modesto, we were involved in World Release Reincarnation of how it feels to be a refugee to come here, and my family is involved. Anything I do involve them so they are aware. When the last March came through here, we are, for Cesar Chavez and the law to pass for equal pay, my sons marched. I couldn't march, but I helped feed everybody when they came to the park. So we are involved in quite a few things. And one grandson, Victor, here, he says, Grandma, are you busy today, or do I have to put an appointment in a month ahead of time? So, yes, we're very busy. And unless they get involved with me, they're not going to see me very often. And I find it a pleasure to go out and help everybody, especially the youth out at Bret Hart have won my heart. I always talk about giving back, and I wish I'd see more parents out at the schools, more grandparents. My biggest ache in my heart is when I realize that seniors are locking themselves away. They are so talented, have so many gifts that they need to give back, and that's one thing I talk. Wherever I go, I always tell people, please give back. You know, that's what you do. You give back. That makes your community a better thing. If you've never been involved in Love Modesto, please try it this next year, or Love Oakdale, whatever. And my senior law project, I'm out, and I feel like I'm family. I met Barbara, who I think is my relative. We've been talking. So I have a lot of things that are just great. I just don't feel like I'm a volunteer. I'm just helping.
Next, we have District 4, Mr. Monteith, and our senior is Karen Burnhams.
Good to see you again, Karen. It really is my pleasure on the Board of Supervisors to recognize those that contribute so much. You know, it's a very interesting life. You have to stop and realize that everyone is unique and everyone is special. Everyone has been given gifts, but those gifts haven't been given for just you to share with other people. And a lot of people don't realize that if they don't learn about that gift, or if they don't share it, the time comes that when they leave this world, that gift is lost forever. That's how unique each and every one of you are. And to celebrate tonight and recognize all of those who have shared their gifts, we just want to say thank you very much. We've listed some of the things that you've been involved in. You've been with the Modesto Gospel Mission for 9 years. You serve at least 24 hours a week. I also happen to know she's on the board because I'm with her, and I do realize how much effort she puts in to help those who are less fortunate and for those who perhaps have made poor decisions in their life. But she has the strength, she has the love to reach out to help those, to give them another opportunity to become the person that they intended to be. And I just want to congratulate you on that. That takes a very special type of person. Not everyone can do that. You also have been very involved with the ministry at the Centenary Church, where you're involved with the Stevens Ministry, which you've trained those. You also have participated in those, which have helped bereaving of ongoing struggles in life situations. So that shows the kindness of heart, the reach out. And with that type of belief and willing to share with each other, that's why we're able to get through difficult times, and that's what makes people special. So we thank you once again for everything. We have a county supervisor certificate recognizing all of that. But we also have, thank you, got that, a scrapbook showing all of the certificates that have been presented to you and all those seniors who've received the award tonight from various politicians. Some you may agree with and some you may not. But they all have one thing in common. They've recognized your accomplishments. So regardless if you agree with them or not, they do recognize something of importance. So with that, would you like to say a few words?
Always. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you recognizing the work that I do. Most of my stuff is out at the Gospel Mission, and this is a plug for anyone who wants to come out and help. We change lives out there. You know, we shelter whoever comes and feeds them, but those that go into our program, their broken lives are fixed. So if you have an hour any time, please come and help. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
District 5. Jim G. Martini is not here, so Mr. Chita, the honoring Barbara Tosta.
Show of hands before Barbara gets up here. How many of you know her? I promise you'll all know her in five more minutes. Wait a minute. Come on up here. So, Supervisor DeMartini isn't here this evening. He's actually, I'm not even going to say what he's doing, but he's missing his first meeting in almost 9 years. So, well deserved. So, I'm the proud person who gets to do this for him. Barbara Tosta, it's like a who's who of what to do when you're a volunteer. A volunteer of catechism. She was an assistant at catechism for 25 years. President of the Altar Society, and they have all the years by it, and they're all double digits, just so you know. She's been a member of the Newman Women's Club. She's been the secretary there. They raise funds for Toys for Tots in the pantry, give away food to those who are less fortunate in the Newman-Gustine area. Part of the Newman Garden Club. Isn't that awesome? And she's the club's treasurer now. Member of the Orestimba 50-plus Club. What does that mean? You have to be 50 years old?
Yeah.
Maybe? When you get there, let me know. She's the publicity chairperson, a volunteer docent at the Newman Museum. She's done silent auction for a healthy aging association, age with movement celebration. You see when I highlighted it's hard to read. And youth at heart instructor for 12 years. The volunteer Delta Blood Bank and an assistant Girl Scout leader, not a Boy Scout leader. And all of this when I was talking with her earlier tonight, all while she's fighting the dastardly disease of cancer. So, yeah, in the past. So it is something to be said, and we'll say it all over again. Remember, all of you folks right there, and I'm sure it's not just you folks. I'm sure we can do the whole audience, but when we talk about volunteerism and you're donating your time, And that's what makes our community great. It really is. I've said that five or six times. I feel like I'm a broken record, but and in these times, you know, and when we talk about folks and how they give of their time, your generation, Perry had said it right. You're the great generation. You came over. You didn't ask for anything. You worked harder than my generation. I'm willing to point that out.
Still do.
I told you guys are going to remember her. Can you take it as well as you give it? So there was something, when I was talking with her husband, I said, so to her, you put up with it. And she said, twice a month when he gets his paycheck. I just, that was funny. So I thought it was hilarious. So, and it was all in humor. And so, anyways, again, on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, we are proud and honored to have you here today, all of you here today. And if you could introduce your husband, now we embarrassed him.
Yes, my husband is David Tosta. We're from Newman. This is overwhelming for me because I'm just about working. I'm the oldest of 11 brothers and sisters, and I've always had to work. So it's just working. It's just getting in, pitching in, wherever's needed. And it's just, it's great to be able to do it since recovering from cancer, and I continue to do it as long as I live. I'm just grateful.
In closing, I want to thank the Board of Supervisors for doing this wonderful work for us. Also, I want to congratulate all our seniors, wonderful people, and remind everybody, this is Senior Month, so do something nice for a senior. They're out there helping others, so let's do that for them. And I thank you again. Good night.
Thank you guys so much. Going to wait just 1 minute before we go on to the next item. Audience members who are staying, now you can disregard all the reserved. Oh, you're going to go move them. What kind of seats up here? Okay, we're going to move on to item B, 2013. Stanislaus County Recycling Poster Contest winners.
Good evening, Chairman Chiesa, board members, CEO Nino, and County Council Doring, Jamie Eggers, Director of Department of Environmental Resources. That was a pretty tough act to follow, but we do have some more presentations for you this evening. Each spring, the department conducts a recycling poster contest for the students in kindergarten through eighth grades, including the 29 schools in the unincorporated area of Stanislaus County. This year's winners have the honor of having their winning artwork highlighted in the upcoming 2014 Stanislaus County Recycling Calendar. The calendar will be finished before the end of the year and will be distributed throughout the county to the schools, cities, libraries, county offices, county officials, and at numerous public events. At this time, I would like to introduce Denise London with our staff to present the awards.
Okay, thank you, Jeannie. Good evening, I'm Denise London with Environmental Resources, and this is the ninth year for the Recycling Poster Contest, and I'm very proud to say that it continues to grow each year. This year we had over 400 entries. On your way into the chambers, you may have noticed the display of recycling posters showcasing our 2013 winners. If not, please take a moment on your way out this evening to admire the young talent and our community. As Jamie mentioned, this year's contest winners will have their artwork highlighted in the 2014 recycling calendar. And kids, when the calendar arrives, I will call to let you know. And at that time, you can let me know how many copies you would like. And like I said, they make excellent Christmas presents. Finally, we would not be here tonight without the support from some very important people who I would like to thank. First, I want to thank the teachers. I can appreciate the pressures you're under to teach to the state standards, and I want to thank you for making the time to incorporate environmental education into your curriculum. It's obvious by looking at the poster entries that you took the time to teach and thus raise the awareness level of your students on how to be responsible citizens and environmental stewards of the planet. Next, to the parents of our winners, thank you so much for being here tonight and taking the time to support and share this exciting time with your child. This is a moment that they will remember all their lives and is made more special and memorable because you're here to celebrate their achievement and share in their excitement. Thank you. And last, to you, our winners. Thank you for your beautiful creative artwork about recycling. I'm so very proud of what you've done, and you should be very proud of yourselves also. Your posters will be teaching thousands of people in Stanislaus County about recycling and taking care of the earth. You might not have ever thought of yourselves as artists and teachers, but guess what? Each of you is an artist, a teacher, and a winner. And when it comes right down to it, this is your calendar. You provide the artwork, and I put it all together. It's going to be a very exciting time between now and the end of the year when the calendar comes in, and I'll be keeping in touch with each of you and your families so you'll always know what's going on. Okay, are you ready to get your awards? Yeah, okay, let's go. Okay, you hear me? Okay, in third place from Barrington Elementary in Newman, in Ms. Lynn Harris class, first grader Denise Ruiz. Denise here? Okay. Second place, also from Barrington Elementary in Newman, again, Ms. Lynn Harris class, first grader Sophia Panara. Hi. Okay, and in first place from Barrington Elementary in Newman, again, Ms. Lynn Harris class, is first grader Brianna Solis. Brianna here? No, okay. All right, in the second and third grade category, we have third place, again, from Barrington Elementary School in Newman, in Mrs. Cabotage's third grade class, Bianca Madrigal. Yeah. In second place from Grattan School in Denair, from Mrs. Amaral's third grade class, is Natalie Calkins. And in first place from Dinabore Elementary in Salida, from Mrs. Hall, third grade class, is Tatiana Paraque. All right, in grades fourth and fifth, third place from Barrington Elementary in Newman, Mrs. Dalton's fifth grade class, Alina Eckstein. Alina is not here. Okay. In second place from Gina Ward Elementary in Salida, from Mr. Thompson's fifth grade class, is Megan Artisano. And in first place from Von Renner Elementary in Newman, from Mary Beth Rose fifth grade class, is Jason Cruz. All All right, in grades 6 through 8 in third place from Spratling Middle School in Houston, from Ms. Audrey Van Loon's class is 8th grader Angela Gill. And second place from Glick Middle School in Empire from Mrs. Monica Korea's class, 8th grader Deepan Patel. And in first place from Grattan School in Denair from Ms. Jensen's class, 7th grader Chloe Goddard, but she is on a field trip to Great America and couldn't be here tonight. So this is your 2013 Recycling Poster Contest winners. Okay, thank you.
Congratulations to all of you guys, and thanks for participating. Thank you, guys. Okay, now we're going to move on to public comment. There's an opportunity at every board meeting when you have an opportunity to address the board on anything that is not on the agenda. I have a few speaker cards today. The first one is Chris Cosner.
Chris Cosner. So just real quick, I don't understand the ban on selling non-food items at the reservoir. It doesn't make sense to me. I want to sell firewood, lighter fluid, other things that people need, napkins, forks, you know. And my giant freezer just came in today and my trailer's backwards and I need to have a counterbalance, and firewood would totally do that. But I'm not going to be allowed to sell it this weekend. Why? That's all.
Okay. Next up, speaker card, Jerry McKibben.
Thank you. My name is Jerry McKibben. I'm a member of the United Domestic Workers Union, and I'm here to again say that it was an honor to be here tonight to honor the elderly people, volunteers in our community. That is a great job. And I'm glad we caught you guys on a good night. I heard one of you say you were in a good mood because this is one of your favorite times of the meetings you guys have.
I think we all said that. We all are happy to be here.
Yeah. I just was here again to reiterate that IHSS workers and the recipients went to Sacramento and lobbied for money to help us get paid a little more money and to kind of ease your minds a little bit as to where this money might come from. And I understand we were offered a 9-cent, 10-cent raise. And I have to say that's laughable. There's money there for our funds, and I just can only hope that you can rethink your position. And actually, most of the workers I know, the people don't really get an hourly wage. They're really doing a lot of volunteer work themselves. It may not be seen by everyone, but it is pretty much free labor. We haven't had an increase since 2009, and there's money there. I can't understand why you're so unwilling to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKibben. Next up is Alex Gonzalez.
Thank you. Hello, Board of Supervisors. 8 months ago, my brother was diagnosed with cancer, and he didn't have any insurance. So I told him, well, go to the MIA for the county that helps out the people that are uninsured. And he did. And Monday, he got an operation that saved his life. And he has about 8 months left to live, but still, it saved his life for 8 months. I just want to say thank you for the county and for the Board of Supervisors for having that program to help save lives. And I just want to say that the IHS program does save lives. I'm taking care of my dad, my mom, now I'm taking care of my brother. And everybody's been saying, well, let's get a pay increase for the workers, because we do a lot of volunteer work that doesn't be seen. And I just want to thank the Board of Supervisors for all the hard work, the wonderful work y'all are doing to keep all these programs and the people alive in the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goodall. Next up is Susie Watkins. Can we get the handheld mic?
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening, Board of Supervisors. I've never done this before. First off, I want to say I've worked for 39 years. I buried my parents and my mom's husband. They both died of cancer. And I've been, I have 3 spine diseases. And I've been told I have pancreatic cancer now. And Mary Ellen is my caregiver, and without her, I would fold up and die. And it's true, they do give a lot to free, and we need them. And any one of you on the board or any of your families could need a caregiver one of these days. Nothing's ever promised in this world. I was a very independent, very active person almost 4 years ago. And now it's taken me to this, and I've never asked for help before. I raised 2 children. They both died, 1 at 8 and 28. And I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I just want to tell you that my caregiver does things for me all the time free, because we need these people. They keep us alive, and you put us in homes and we're all going to die, and it's going to cost a fortune for the state, and it's a death state, and we really need to give them a pay increase. And I can't lose any hours. I'm dying, and I'm going to get worse, and that's okay. Stay with me. And I just need you guys to know how much these people mean to everybody, and how much we need them, and how much cheaper it is to put a caregiver in a home than put us in a home, because they're not going to get the care we need, and we're not going to get the hope and love we need. I'm a strong person. I'm a believer. I have a lot of hope, and I'm a fighter, and I don't care. My son was diagnosed with rare disease, and he was only supposed to have 8 months left. He lived 8 years. So who's to say how long we have to live in this earth except for God himself? And I need my caregiver, and all of us do. And they give hours, endless hours, that they don't get paid for. I had 2 procedures done, and they said my caregiver couldn't leave the hospital, because if they did, they would refuse my treatment that day. And they didn't get paid for that. She had to stay there 5 hours, and she didn't get paid for that. And she stayed anyway, because she cares about human life. And I know all you guys do, too. And nobody knows what's going to happen to your family or anybody you know or anything. They might, down the road, you might need a caregiver. And believe me, you're going to want somebody that cares. And if you don't give them a pay increase and you cut my hours, we're just going to die. And we're all going to die out. And nobody will be able to take care of us. I never asked to be this way. I was a very vibrant person.
I was always working with children, needy children and stuff, and just I was very active in the community and stuff with children and stuff. And you guys have no idea how hard they work. She bathes me. She gets me dressed. She keeps my house clean. I don't want to die in a cold hospital. I don't. I want to die at home with my things. I live alone with my little dog, and I want to die at home with my little dog, you know? And there's a lot of people that do. And if you guys in this and don't give them what they need, you're not giving us what we need. And I know I'm off the point and stuff, but and also the veterans. They went over and fought for us. And there's veterans on the street now. They shouldn't be on the street at all. They fought for our country and they fought for us. And we should take care of them too, you know? It's only right, you know? I have notes here, but I can't talk with notes. I have to talk from my heart. And this is all from my heart. And I've never talked in front of anybody before. And I'm really scared. But I know you guys all have a heart up there. And I know you guys all have family. And nothing's ever promised in this world. So you never know which one of you guys might need a caregiver down the road a ways. And you're going to need it. Somebody who cares, not somebody that's just going to throw you in a home and let you just have bed sores and rot and all that stuff. You're going to need the people who really care, the people who are behind the scenes that's doing things for free. And they get paid, what, $9.38 an hour? And they haven't had a pay raise since 2009? My God! What do we need to do to make you guys understand how much they mean to us? I couldn't get out without my caretaker. I would be stuck in bed. And they mean so much to all of us. And you guys have got to see that. And you've got to look behind the scenes because my caregiver gives up hours and hours and hours of her free time. And she doesn't have to. But she does it because she cares. I never asked to be in this situation. I never thought I'd ever be in this situation in my whole life. I thought I'd always be given to the community and stuff, back to the community. And I guess God has something different for me to do, you know? I'm a fighter, like I said, and I'm not giving up. And I'll be here every Tuesday if I can get in this wheelchair. She can get me in this wheelchair and get me down here to tell you guys that we really need these caretakers. We really, really, truly do. Without them, it's going to cost us all a fortune. Hospitals and institutions you're going to push in, it's going to cost us fortunes. And none of us are going to be, can live our lives out like that. You know, you wouldn't want to live your life out like that, you know? You guys have worked hard for all this.
Susie, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap it up.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you listening to me. I apologize for going on. And I really want you guys to give this a lot of thought because they really need, we really need you guys' help. Please. Please.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, that's all the speaker cards I have. If anyone else would like to address this board.
I would. I'm Mary Ellen.
Please state your name for the record on in the microphone.
Mary Ellen McLaughlin. Good evening, Board of Supervisors. I know I spoke last Tuesday, but when I went home, I thought about a lot of things I forgot to talk about, probably like a lot of people do. And I was more concerned at the time for the wage cut that's coming up for our recipients and the problems that lie ahead with in-home support services. So I was really going to bat for the recipient, and I did forget about myself. But tonight, I'd like to speak on some of the losses that the caregivers put up. When she talks about hours and hours on end, I'm not just spending extra time at her house. It's usually there's a need. Her husband died the other day, and she called me hysterical. And I was off work. But you know what? I went over and gave her a hug. And I told her I care. and I would want somebody to do that for me. My ex-husband passed away. I get no sick leave. When a recipient goes to the hospital, my pay stops if they don't come home that day. They can be in the hospital 2 to 3 weeks, depending upon the surgery or the procedure. There is no wage compensation for that. I just have to eat it. And when you have somebody this sick, they're in the hospital a lot. She's going for a procedure, and they're going to do a biopsy on this tumor. Anyway, I don't know if she'll stay overnight, but she'll be in there about 8 hours. And I'm hoping that they'll let me go home, take her, drop her off, and go home. I've had difficulty with Doctor's Hospital and the Black Medical Building allowing a caregiver to leave. You're responsible for that patient, so they want to put it all on you. They want you to wheel them around. They want you to do all the work. It's a disservice to us. And we give because we don't have a choice. I'm not going to tell her, hey, kick down your legs and try to get there, lady. Maybe you could push on the wall. What am I going to say? I wheel her. I do what I have to do to get her through the appointment. We're not paid for going in and hearing what the doctor has to say so you know how to treat your client. Some people are on a lot of medication and they can't remember what the doctor said. I go in and I listen to the diagnosis and what they want me to do to help her along the way so she can have the best treatment and the most comfort. I'm not paid for that. But how can you treat and care for somebody if you're not acting as a team with the doctor? I think we should be in-home support service, caregivers, the recipient, the doctors. We should all be a team. It should be like a network. We're all trying to make the remainder of this patient's life better. And it doesn't work that way. Every doctor, she has to sign consent for them to even talk to me. If there is no consent, they aren't wasting their time on a caregiver because a lot of caregivers don't stick around. They're either fired or they can't afford to work for what we're paid. I don't have children right now. If I had children, dependent children, I couldn't afford to do this job. I would have to be re-educated by the state, which costs money. And that's not a win-win deal either. You know, I'm trying. I'm almost 60. I'm trying to make it to my, you know, SSI or whatever I'm going to get when I'm old enough. The point is I enjoy working too, and I'm a giver. I give back. I give plenty. But I also believe you owe this community, each and every one of you that were voted into office. I don't know if you realize the effect we have had in this area with Kathleen Giuliani. They did not expect her to win that race, but she had the support of several caregivers, and we're behind her. The mayor, we knocked on doors for our mayor, went out weekend after weekend, phone call after phone call. I volunteer my time to bring you guys on board. I'm expecting you guys to do your job and take care of your community. 9 cents an hour. Wow, I've been working with this company for 10 years. I had one wage increase. And they tried to take it back. They did take some back. And when they couldn't do that, they got the recipient's hours. It isn't fair. There's no room for increase in this position. You're at the top. There's nowhere for me to go. It'd be nice if they put a CNA program together or a phlebotomy program together, or maybe where we could make it all the way to the RN position, and we could form a real nice network that when a patient needs a nurse, we don't have to call hospice out, or an insurance company doesn't have to pick up that tab, because in-home support service now has educated some nurses. For their education, they have to sign on for 2 or 3 years to work for in-home support service, maybe. So we're giving back. But there's room for advancement. You're offering hope to the future. I'm not necessarily just playing for me. I'm an old lady. and I paid my taxes and I've done my time. I thank God for my health. But I'm not making enough money. And you know the cost of living. I'm on the downside. There's been no increase for me, but I continue to have to pay high insurance, high car payments, high gas, high food. You know, my cost of living goes up like everybody else's, but my wage increase hasn't. That isn't fair to a community member, a taxpayer, and somebody who gives so much to the community. I'm asking you to put people first. Pretend like it was you or one of your family members out there. I do my job as unto the Lord every day, and I'm hoping when I get ill that God will remember I was a servant and send the right person for me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Hi, my name is Monica Johnson. Thank the board for listening to me today. I've been an IHS provider for 2001. My mother, she just passed away Saturday, and she was a part of the union. And she used to go on rallies with us. She used to come even to the same very office that we're down here to meet with. And the Lord have allowed me to take care of her for 3 years. I have not been a part of my union. I took care of my mother, and I learned nursing skills, how to do wounds. I did feeding tubes. I know how to draw blood. I know how to do everything. And my mother passed away in the home. They went to send her to hospice, but she passed away in a home. I have two children right there. Could you please stand for me? That little boy right there fed my mother through the feeding tube. He fed her. They took care of her. They made sure that she had love at home. And all the doctors and all that, they was like, well, you know, you're one in a million. No, it's not one in a million. It's my mother. I thank God for the union. And I thank God for IHSS, because I had other clients before her, and two of my other clients, I was with them till they God called them home. And after they passed away, two of them, one of them died in a convalescent hospital, one of them died, I seen him at his home, and he died. And now my mother, that's three people that passed on me. But I just thank God for the 3 years that he allowed me to take care of my mother through IHSS. And I'm just asking you to please, because you never know when your day going to come. And it was a blessing, because when my mother passed away, that little girl, Amaya, stand up, please. That little girl dressed her in the funeral home. She put her makeup on. She put her jewelry on. And it was because of IHSS that at home learning these skills, learning how to take care of my mother. When we went up there to Evans Funeral Home, and I had my children there because I trained them that way, because I was able to be at home with my mother. They was like amazed, because this little girl knew what she was doing, and it's a blessing for me to have my mom in the house and my kids actually learning how to take care of her. And they asked me, did I want to send my mom to hospice? And I said, hospice? Her home is her hospice. And when she came home and she passed away, that little girl right there gave her her last beating on May the 4th. She said, hi, Ben Mama, I love you. I love you, Ben Mama, hi. And she fed her at 10 o'clock that morning. 11 o'clock, she went to sleep and never woke back up. I mean, God called her home. She gave her her last feeding, and it's a blessing how that we do have in-home care for her grandkids, and they could see it, my mom, you know, at her last days, and, you know, dressing her and being with her family, because hospice wanted her, but she died at home. And I'm just asking you guys to please, you know, consider, you know, like she said, you never know when your day going to come. You know, not for you or not for anybody else, but, you know, when your family is able to take care of your family at home and the children, and even to the funeral home for a 7-year-old little girl to sit up there and dress her grandmother. So please hear my voice, and please, you know, consider, you know,
even the nurses said how much that they save money through me knowing how to change wounds, and they was just sending the supplies, and they was amazed how I never read a book. It was on-hands training, and I thank God for, you know, the IHSS. I thank God for my union. I've been a part of my union. My mother, she used to be in the union. We have traveled many, many places, and this is the voice, and we're just not asking for nothing but just to take care of the people in need. So you guys, please thank you for my time.
Thank you, Monica. Good evening.
Thank you. I'm Richard McGill, Board of Supervisors. You know, as I set out with these wonderful people, I think about my brother. My brother died in October. He was the first black to finish the University of Arkansas. He was in the Air Force and a captain. And one thing he did have an opportunity to have as a caregiver. And not only do they give care, they also become part of your family, your friends. And it's very important to have somebody who really doesn't ask for much just to be there with you during that time and tribulations and sorrows. And when you need somebody to give you a drink of water, they're there. And when we look at our country and look at the situation that we have, we're looking at people that's not asking for nothing. Some of them very, very seldom have that much money of their own, but yet they are willing to give their time and their efforts to go out and be with people. It's like this lady said, she lost two of her sons, and the only person that she has is her caregiver. She doesn't want to spend her last days in a nursing home or a convalescent home or hostage. She wants to be where she feels comfortable at. You know, if we can, when we can, look in our hearts and do what's right. Sometimes we talk about doing what's right, but sometimes, most importantly, we should do the right thing. They're not asking for much. And if we can find it in our heart to actually help our people and these great people have just an extra amount of funds and money so they can do their jobs to help this lady, I really would like for you to consider and give them that opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ricky.
Hi.
Good evening. How are you?
My name is Diana Gardner, and I've never done this before, so I am very scared, too.
Diana, I wouldn't worry.
Good.
I wouldn't worry about us.
Right? Okay. I was going to say just what around my head. But my passion is caregiving. Okay, I've done this for many, many years. And before I came to IHSS, I had no job security with the people I was caregiving. Money was good, but no job security, because when they pass, the job's done. That's it. You know, I mean, but, you know, with IHSS, we've got the union and things behind us, so I'm really grateful for this union and all, and this program. But, you know, caring for the people I care for. I had three people at one time that I was caring for. I work in Turlock. I live actually in Escalon, but I stay in Modesto during the week because of the gas prices. I can't afford keep going back and forth to Turlock every day from Escalon, yeah. And so I had to make cuts there. Now they're cutting us 4.4 more on our hours. I'm trying to find more clients so I can just make ends meet, you know, and it's very difficult for us, very difficult, and I don't want to give up caregiving. It's my passion, like I said. I love the work. They're not only elderly, they're, you know, disabled people, and that stuff out. That's about all. I brought in a lot more, but, you know, I mean, we do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of stuff, you know, I mean, saying the shopping, the hours we put in of not being paid for, that we're not allowed to, you know, be paid for, and we could really use a raise. We really can. So if you'd see it, and we would appreciate a raise. Thank you very much.
Diane, you did great. You did great.
Good evening, Lord Chairman and Chair Lady and the co-chairs. My name is Peter Noah. I've been a caregiver for almost 10 years. But in between that, I was a security officer. But the empathy inside of me wouldn't let me stay in this kind of security job because I felt God has chosen me until I discovered myself to help those who cannot help themselves. Therefore, I changed my mind, and I've been doing it even for that 10 years. I gained a lot of affection for humanity and the empathy inside of me to express it to those who cannot help themselves, actually giving my joy of the day. I make more money where I was before, but that don't give me the happiness and the joy I'm feeling right now standing before you. You see, we asking for this little money to be able to be rich. It's not this kind of job we're doing, but the empathy in us is to help those who cannot help themselves. I myself, standing before your honor, I've been diagnosed with cancer, and I've worked with patients with cancer, you know, in regular habits. When I see their condition, they cannot help themselves in any way. But if people like me and all of us sitting down here are not there, some people will commit suicide, and that will not be a good record for the county. So when you are elected, I remember day and night, I went to all the people to convince them that our leader has chosen you, Lord, that these are the people who is going to work for us. What we are asking for is just a peanut. We living below the standard of living, and for you to have a consideration and change of heart in order to make us a little bit, you know, comfortable financially. You know, I survive every day, but the joy of the people I work for gives me compensation for that. That's all I have to say. Please reconsider your position to give us this little increment. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Hi, I'm a little nervous myself.
Pull that mic down.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm short. Okay. Hi, I'm Kim Cinnamon, and thanks for listening to me. I have a son who has cystic fibrosis and liver disease. He had a liver transplant going on 3 years now. We've been back and forth, my husband and I, and to UCSF, and as one of the other in-home supportive services clients said, you know, it's when my kid's in the hospital, of course, it's heart-wrenching. That's, you know, our child. Of course, we're going to take care of our children, whether we get paid or not. Those are our children. I have another child, too, that luckily is very healthy. But we don't get paid. I can't work outside my home because, as they said, when you know, I report everything to in-home supportive services because that's the right thing to do. We don't get paid, though. He's my child. I'm going to do the best I can. I can't work out of my home. Every year my son is getting sick. I stay at home, though, and he's not in the hospital to take care of him. And an increase would be nice, you know. We almost had that 10-cent raise, and you took it from us. Now the 4.4% starting in July. What more? Well, my assessment is coming up, you know, coming soon. But there's the 4.4%, and my son does have more needs. But the 4.4% is going to eat that up. You know, this economy is getting worse and worse, as you guys all know. Food, shelter, the mortgage, the taxes, everything's
going up except the wages. I guess that's about all I have to say. Just please consider all of us here that are standing in front of you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'd like to say one thing. I'm Susan Marcus, and I'm not just here for myself. I might not be here in another 6 months, but you know what? I'm here for the people that come after me, too. You know? The people that come after me that need this. I'm not just here for myself and my charity. I'm here for the people that come after me that they need this, too. So please.
Yeah. Thank you.
Listen to me.
Evening.
Oh, good evening. Yeah, Kathy, excuse me. Good evening, supervisors. Just want to...
Name?
Oh, Mike Losa, 1900 Oakdale Road, apartment 581. Supervisor Monteith's area. Hi. Or district. No, I just wanted to... I guess finalize the comments that are made today by people who think that they can't speak or that they hesitate to speak, and then they come up here and they say these wonderful words. And I really think that that as supervisors, there are some things that we need to look at that has not been said today or even last week. Chief Executive Officer Monica, last week you spoke about there was a gentleman that came up talking about the Veterans Department, and he asked about funding and where that funding went. And you talked about how the county had put in $100,000, and that $100,000 generated money from the state and from the federal government, right, to be used for the program to enhance it, right? And once again, like someone said, I went home and I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, you know, that's exactly how our program is, right? There's monies put in by the county, and then they're supplemented by the state and the federal government. And it's put into this pot of funding for the county and spent. The monies that home care providers make, right, get spent. You know, they're not out buying stock. They're not out buying businesses or cars or anything like that. They're not. You know, they are spending the money within our economy here. And I want to put the relationship of that program, the veterans program, with our program. And the thought of bargaining, and I surely don't want to bargain with you today, you know, but I just want to bring awareness that when a proposal is made across the table, you are paying 15.1% of that proposal. So if you made a proposal that was, for example, a dime, in essence, you are only paying 15.1% of that dime, right? Because the state and the federal government are paying, are chipping in their portions as well. And I think that's where the concern comes from, right? That's where the concern comes from. And I think it's real important that you analyze it in that fashion, because when we look at other county workers and think that, wow, you know, an animal control assistant who is cleaning cages and stuff like that is making over $13 an hour with full benefits taking care of animals. And we look at a home care provider doing
And not that there's no dignity in that work, but there's dignity in this work as well. And but the respect for that work doesn't seem to be here. And that's where I would like to just bring out, so as we continue the process that we're in, that we try to find a way to start to show the concern from the county to the work that our members do. I felt real honored to be here today to hear the awards that were given and the recognition. You know, that's great. That's one of the best parts of attending these meetings that I get as well, is to see people being recognized. I know that the Board of Supervisors have recognized home care as Home Care Awareness Month in the month of November a couple of times within the last couple of years, and we appreciate that. We appreciate that. So we know that, I think that you understand the program and you understand the work that they do, but I just think that it's time to really consider wage increases for home care providers and to put them in a position to commence to having a livable wage. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else like to speak? If not, I want to first state that for all you first-time speakers, you did a very good job tonight. And I don't want you ever to be intimidated when you come up here. That is not the intent. And if you ever think that I'm being too snarky, let me know. But we appreciate the comments. I don't think you'll hear from any of the board members that we don't think the program is important. And we will continue to talk and see where it goes. But appreciate your comments here tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to move on to the agenda items, and those are items that are marked with an asterisk. Are there any Board of Supervisors that would like to pull an item? Anyone from the audience want to pull an item? Okay, we're taking items A, 1 through 3, B, 1 through 11, and C, 1 through 3, D, 1. Do you have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve.
We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Okay. On to item C4, approval to consider and adopt a resolution of the necessity to acquire real property or interest in real property by eminent domain for the Claribel Road Widening Project. Parcel owners, John Gonzalez and Suki Gonzalez. And Matt, if you could just wait 1 minute. Okay.
All right. Good evening, Chairman, Supervisors, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. I'm Matt Machado, Director of Public Works. And the item before you is, just as the chairman stated, approval to consider and adopt a resolution of necessity to acquire real property or interest in real property by eminent domain for the Claribel Road Widening Project. The subject parcel is 1743 Claribel Road. The owners are Mr. and Mrs. John Gonzalez. The project, the Claribel Widening Project's location is between McHenry Avenue, State Route 108, to Oakdale Road. It's a 2-mile segment of road. It is a planned expressway. Some of the proposed improvements include widening this existing 2-lane roadway to a divided 4-lane roadway, to construct a Class 1 bike path, one in each direction, to replace the MID Lateral 6 bridge, to signalize the intersection of Coffee Road and Claribel Road. On May 22nd of 2013, that's not right, it was actually 2012, the Board of Supervisors adopted the environmental document. We are currently in the right-of-way phase. To accomplish the proposed improvement, the county will need to acquire the property of Mr. and Mrs. Gonzalez. The parcel is 0.69 acres. It includes an 1,100 square foot single-family residence built in 1949. The residence is in fair but original condition. The county offered to the owner a fair market value and appraised amount of $85,000 to acquire the entire parcel. Some of the acquisition issues has been that the owner has been non-responsive to all contact attempts by phone, on-site and office visit, and mail by the county and county's right-of-way consultant. There is a loan against the property for the amount of $258,750. The parcel is tenant-occupied with a large amount of personal property. It's a rental property. 0.37 acres is required for the project, leaving a 0.32 acre uneconomic remnant. Because of the odd shape and size, the remnant is an uneconomic remnant that does not meet county zoning requirements for general ag or the minimum county requirement for development of a 1 acre parcel to accommodate water and septic facilities. The public interest and necessity require the project. The existing road is approaching capacity due to the existing Coffee and Clarabelle intersection, which operates with significant delays at peak travel hours, and traffic collisions are high on this segment of roadway. In fact, we average about 16 accidents per year on this segment of roadway. With the project, traffic will move freely, traffic delays will be reduced, air quality will be improved, intersection delays will be reduced, and traffic collisions will be reduced as well because of driver comfort with the divided roadway. The project is planned or located in a manner that will be the most compatible with the greatest public good and least private injury. The project right-of-way is approximately, the needs for the project right-of-way is approximately 90 feet on the northern side of the corridor. This is the most feasible option with the fewest conflicts with major structures on the southern side of the roadway, including historical businesses, a mobile home park, and an electrical substation. The property sought to be acquired is necessary for the project. The uneconomic remnant requires county to purchase the entire parcel. There's certainly opportunity for the future remnant, for the remnant to be a future storm drain basin. Acquisition of the property is necessary for the project to be built to relieve current congestion, improve safety and air quality. A critical component is to find that the offer required by Section 7267.2 of the Government Code has been made to the owners of record of the property to be acquired. We have made an offer. The offer was made to the property owner on December 14, 2012 via certified mail. The county is working with the tenant of the residence in accordance with the Uniform Relocation Assistance and Real Property Acquisitions Act. We're currently working on that. So with that, the staff recommendation this evening is to find that the public interest and necessity require the proposed project, to find that the proposed project is planned or located in the manner that will be most compatible with the greatest public good and the least private injury, to find that the subject property described in the resolution is necessary for the proposed project, and the 0.32 acre remnant is an uneconomic remnant and remainder, which the county is authorized to acquire by eminent domain pursuant to Code of Civil Procedures Section 1240.150 and 1240.410. Find that the offer required by Section 7267.2 of the Government Code has been made to the owners of record of the property to be acquired. Adopt a resolution of necessity, and finally authorize County Council to initiate eminent domain proceedings to acquire the subject property. With that, I can answer any questions that you may have.
One question. I have no need. I know that we need the property, the necessity. But how do they extinguish their debt when they offer them $86,000 against 200 and some odd thousand in debt? How does that work?
Well, I'm not an attorney, so I probably don't know exactly. But our right-of-way consultant, our experts, have commented that there's a fair chance that the county, as it makes its offer and goes through the process, would then proceed to deposit the money into an account. The money would transfer. The owner would then provide those funds to the bank, and I suspect the bank would then be stuck with the bad debt. I would like to comment, though, that this resolution of necessity this evening really does not have anything to do with the offer, with the cost, even though it's certainly in the back of all of our minds because it's a critical part. But this evening, the resolution of necessity has specific findings that do not relate to the cost of the property or the appraisal. In fact, we do intend to continue to negotiate with the property owner if the property owner is willing to negotiate. They've been thus far non-responsive.
Jack, do you know, or is this your bailiwick?
There is no definite answer because you have to look at the underlying documents that create the lien, the mortgage, whatever that exists on the property. But essentially the process is the county deposits the fair market value as probable compensation into with the court. And then the court, working with the various owners of the property, distributes the money in accordance with, you know, their priorities or liens or other such. Whether or not the bank has any right of recourse or to proceed with a deficiency judgment against the owners of the property, the prior owners after the county acquires it, depends on the documents and what they say. We don't have access to those. We wouldn't comment on it in any event. So essentially, it's the bank is in no different position now than they were previously. The value of the property is what the value of the property is. So at this point, we don't know for sure whether or not there would be a deficiency judgment against the owners or not.
Supervisor Monteith.
One question. Is this property north or south of Clarabelle?
It would be on the north side of Clarabelle, right at the MID canal.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Withrow.
Just a couple things. Jack, isn't it a normal situation that the furthest the bank can go is the property, and it, not that we don't have that information, I understand what you're saying, but if it was as any normal situation, there's no further they can go than kind of
again, it would depend on the type of loan documents that govern the situation. Some provide for right of recourse, others don't.
Okay. And the other thing, Matt, has there been a counteroffer at all? It sounds like we've just, at this point, just negotiated with ourselves.
Well, there has not been a counteroffer. In fact, I have to count up the times that we've tried to make contact. There have been.
Yes.
It's just a number of them, and
right.
We just can't make contact is the issue.
Okay.
Any comments? Any comments from anyone in the audience? Give a comment. Bring it back to back to the board, Supervisor O'Brien.
Earlier tonight, we talked about one of the great things we get to do as supervisors, and that was recognize people for their great accomplishments and their volunteer hours. And then we have one of the toughest jobs we have to do as county supervisor, and that is initiate process of eminent domain. We have to look at what's best for the mass of the people, and in this case, widening this road I think is very important. Area is in my district. We have seen fatal accident out there pretty close to that spot. It's time that we get this road widened, and so unfortunately we have to go through this process, but it's needed, and it takes the what's right for the majority of the people of this county. And so with that, I will make a motion to approve all six staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Motion and second. I'm going to comment really quick. I am going to vote for this motion. I am going to vote for the motion. My concern always is, like someone who's upside down in their house, if it was legitimate debt, you could stay in your house, you could continue making your payments and wait 20 years for the market to come. I understand we're paying the right amount, but I would hate, because I'm not an expert, I would hate for the bank to go after someone because we haven't domained their property. But I will be supporting because the resolution of necessity, I absolutely agree with you. It's for the greater good. But I just share that concern that if the bank did go after them personally, and I don't know that they can. Again, that's not my...
I'll say the same. I'm not a proponent of eminent domain in most cases, but I am familiar with that area, and it is very dangerous. It's going to have to be addressed. And sometimes we have to make tough decisions for the overall best, and it will not solve itself by ignoring it. So it's one of those things. It's difficult, but it's something that has to be realized and addressed at this time.
Mr. Chairman, if I may make a final comment. There are provisions, different provisions than what we have before us today, if it were homeowner-occupied residence. Federal Highways did issue a policy. They've issued it over the last number of years with the recession that would allow us different authority to negotiate a different value in the sense of trying to eliminate that bad debt if it was homeowner-occupied. This is a rental unit, and so we don't have that situation, and our hands are tied on this one. We have dealt with some homeowner-occupied situations recently, and we've been very successful with the Federal Highway policy that we can use. So this one's a little bit unique. It's, you know, and we are working with the tenant to relocate them at a fair and just price.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second by Supervisor Monti. All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. No schedule matters. Correspondence.
This board has received 4 letters from the State Water Resources Control Board regarding petitions for temporary change to transfer water among various water districts.
Refer to the Department of Public Works, Department of Environmental Resources, and the Agricultural Commissioner, and see their weights and measures.
This board has received reports concerning the projected budget for fiscal year 2013-2014, leases, prices, concessions, fees, and the schedule for the 2013-14 season from the Gallo Center for the Arts.
Acknowledge receipt and refer to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claim as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Supervisor Monti.
I believe it was last Thursday. My wife and I attended the graduation at the Harvest Center. It was a preparation of foster children for independent living. And approximately 27 graduated from high school. And we also had approximately 15 that are going on to college or vocational school. So I want to commend the work that they're doing.
And thank you for going. I appreciate it. Okay, legislative fiscal management reports. CEO Nino.
Yes, Chair. The governor released his May revise last week Tuesday during our board meeting. Of note, although the state controller is reporting cash collections ahead of budget by $4.5 billion this fiscal year, the governor is budgeting only $2.8 billion due as a result of the economic slowdown, federal sequester, and expiration of the 2% payroll and tax deduction. Public safety realignment. Unfortunately, the projected $77 million in realignment road funds, we've mentioned this multiple times here during board meetings, are now projected to be only $45 million for the community corrections subaccount. The governor also proposed to allow the state and the counties to swap inmates based on their sentence length. Also, in the health care front, the governor is proposing to take $300 million from counties in the second half of the 13-14 fiscal year. The money is what the state feels should be counted as savings to them as a result of health care reform and taking over the county's indigent health care program. The county continues to meet and strategize on this topic. And unfortunately, a number of these discussions, our health services agency director, along with our chair, along with myself and a number of other county staff, are participating in a 12-group consortium with other counties of like health care systems. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like there's a lot of progress happening, but we're going to continue to remain hopeful. The administration proposed a shift of some human services programs to counties by 2016 in anticipation because of health care realignment. They're expecting that we won't have a lot of those associated costs, so that we should be able to cover some of these other health care programs, which we don't really believe is an actual result of what's going to happen as part of health care reform. But we will continue to remain at the table and make sure that our exposures, along with our concerns for our community, are addressed. The budget committees are driving home in regards to the May revise changes, and the legislature expects to have the budget done on time by June 15th, which will be after our proposed budget hearings, which start on June 11th at 9:05. So we hope that does occur so that we have a greater understanding prior to our county closing our books to this fiscal year what our potential exposures, but also hopefully some resources that we might receive as a result of the fiscal year 2013-2014 budget. This week, the Appropriations Committee in both houses will meet to dispense with all bills in those committees. The next significant deadline is for the House of Origin, whereby a bill needs to be passed from the House as it was proposed. On the federal side, the Senate wrapped up debate and passed its version of the Water Resources Development Act, and the vote was strong. It was passed by 83-14. However, the bill has a long road ahead before it is signed into the law. It appears the House might not have urgency to move this companion water resources bill. A delay in this bill could be beneficial to our Orestimba Creek project control, because we are trying to finalize that chief's report, and that needs to be included, and we're not anticipating that to be completed until August or September of 2013. And that concludes our legislative report today, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to point out that there's not a lot of progress from our counties, but they're moving ahead without us, it seems, on the health side. And it's something for all the viewers and the six of you left in the audience to be very concerned going forward, because the 12 counties that have similar health platform are being left out of the conversation. So with that, I wanted first to again thank the seniors or congratulate them, the children also. And one announcement: on June 7th at 1:00, we are having our dedication ceremony for the Stanislaus County Juvenile Commitment Center, and the address of that is 2215 Blue Gum Road in Modesto. That's on June 7th at 1:00. So thank you very much for coming to our night meeting, and if there's nothing else for the good of the order, this meeting is adjourned.